Hallelujah. Oh, that's pathetic. Hallelujah. We are not a pathetic people. We're a prophetic people. Amen. Who knows what happens to you when you know the truth? You're what? So that's God's purpose for us, to live in that complete freedom. Now, about this time last year, God gave us a word that was going to be a key word for what he was going to do during those months. And that was that we were to depend upon the Spirit, that we had the Spirit. But just having the Spirit does not necessarily see the life and power of God released in our lives. We are to depend upon the Spirit. And so a lot of what has happened during that last year has taken place amongst us because we have been learning to depend more and more upon the Spirit, both in our personal lives and corporately in the church. Now, this year, God is giving us a different word for these coming months, but one that is complementary to that. Say application. Now, application can mean two different things. It can mean applying for something, like applying for a job, or applying truth to a situation. Guess which one of those two it means in our context. We're not applying for jobs. Amen? God will give us enough to do without us applying for any further jobs. Application. Let me just give you a word from God, very succinct word, very simple, but it's very profound in its implications. And we're just going to begin this morning to see the implications. Apply my word to your life, and then apply your life to my word. Amen. Let's say that together, shall we? Apply my word to your life, and then your life to my word. Now, what does that really mean? I believe one of the key parables that Jesus taught was the parable of the sower. It's like a foundational parable. And you remember that the seed fell into four types of soil: the path, the rocky soil, the thorny soil, and the good soil. And those four types of soil represent four types of heart. There is the path, which is the hard heart. That although God speaks to the hard heart rejects what he says. So there's no application of the word into that person's life. Hello? Yes. Then there is the rocky soil. Now, these are the people, Jesus says, that receive the word at first with joy. But there's no depth of word in that person's heart and life. So when the sun rises, when the going gets tough, they really fall away. That represents the shallow heart. The hard heart, and then the shallow heart. What's wrong with the shallow heart? Well, people heard the truth, received it with joy, but there was no application of the truth, especially when the going got tough. Then there is the seed that falls upon the thorny soil, the weedy soil. Now, the seed of the word of God, of truth, grows up in that person's life, but a lot of other things are growing up as well. Jesus mentions especially worry, anxiety, fear, and we'll come back to that later, because fear is the enemy of faith. Fear and the deceitfulness of wealth. Not wealth itself, but the deceitfulness of wealth. In other words, thinking that you've got everything you need and depending upon yourself. Now, those things choke the seed of God's word, of truth, in that person's life. What kind of heart is this? This is a divided heart. On the one hand, yes, I want to apply the word to my life, but at the same time, I'm applying a whole lot of other things. Fear, anxiety, worry, self-satisfaction, self-dependence, all kinds of other things. Divided heart. And you all know the scripture, give me an undivided heart that I may praise your name. But then, of course, there is the good soil. And the good soil is a good heart. Somebody say hallelujah. But a good heart is one that is going to apply the word of God. Because the good one, the good-hearted person, produces fruit. 100 times, 60 times, 30 times what was sown. What was sown was the word. So by applying the word, that person became fruitful. Is anybody in this morning? Now, Jesus also taught at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he used that illustration about the wise man and the foolish man. The wise man built his house upon the rock, the foolish man on sand. Now, both of them were similar in this respect. They heard the word of God. What did the wise man do? He applied the word. He did the word, the scripture says. He not only heard it, but he put it into action. What did the foolish man do? He heard the word, but he didn't act upon it. There was no application. So application enables us to be fruitful. Application enables our house to stand no matter what storms batter it. Amen? So application of the word is absolutely essential. Now turn to Colossians. Pastor Clive was using some verses here during the prayer meeting. We're just going to use one or two more because I'm not going to just talk about this. We're going to do it this morning. We're actually going to apply the truth. Is that all right? Thank you for your enthusiasm. Well, the 20 of us that assented to that, we're going to do it, and the rest of you can watch us. Okay, now, here we are in chapter 1 of Colossians. Here is a truth in verse 22. Actually, a series of truths. But now, he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Now there's a series of truths to apply to our lives and then apply our lives to those truths. The first is, you have been reconciled. Well, 15 of you understand what that means. The rest of you kept quiet. Amen. Do you remember what we were taught at camp? That the ignorant remain silent. So, those of you that are not ignorant of the truth will be very noisy this morning. You have been reconciled with God, which means you are now one with Him. Just turn to your neighbor on either side and say, I am now one with God. Then turn to them again and say, what Christ did in his body has actually accomplished that. So it's not that I will be reconciled, I have been reconciled. There is truth. Now, if I apply that truth to my life, then I believe I have been reconciled with God through Jesus Christ. I am now one with God. So now I apply my life to that truth and say, right, then today I live in unity with him. Yes. When I pray, I'm at one with him. Yes. When I speak, I'm at one with him. Whatever I'm doing, I'm at one with him. Yes. I'm applying my life to the word, yes, to the truth. Yes. Amen. Amen. Then it says that he has done this that I might be holy in his sight. So if I apply that truth to my life, I say, right, I am holy. I haven't made myself holy. I could never make myself holy. But praise God, through the blood of Jesus, I have been made holy. Amen. So I apply that word to my life and say, right, according to God, I am holy. So you've all heard my simple little testimony. I am happy, I am holy, and I'm healed. Yes, turn to someone and say that. I'm happy, I'm holy, and I'm healed. But you see, sometimes it's a bit of a stretch for our imagination to understand that we really are holy, because the devil always wants us to look at ourselves instead of the truth. And he is very good at pointing out everything that is wrong with you. Mm-hmm. Like those critical Christians you know about. They really speak for the devil, not for God, because they're always accusing and judging and wanting to point out. I mean, avoid people like that. You don't need to be around people like that. I mean, you need to be around those that are going to build you up and encourage you with the truth. So first of all, you have to apply the truth and say, right, now I need to believe that I'm holy, because that's what God says, not only here, but in many places in his word. I've got to have a holy mentality because God says I'm holy. And then I apply myself to that word and say, right, now I can live in holiness. And God has actually put his Holy Spirit in me to enable me to walk in holiness. This is not something that is way out there for very spiritual people that is beyond me. I can walk in holiness, which means I can do whatever God wants me to do, because everything he wants me to do is holy, and whatever he doesn't want me to do is unholy. So it's not some sort of mystical thing. It's not some state of being that is far and way beyond us. It is simply doing what God wants. I've been set apart to do what God wants. So I apply that to my life. He's made me holy. He's set me apart for his will and purpose. So now I apply my life to doing that. Amen? If I don't, I'm like the path. If I only do it when the going's easy, I've got a shallow heart. If I allow other things to interfere with that, I've got a divided heart. But if I've got a good heart, then I will give myself wholeheartedly to doing the will and the purpose of God in my life. Yes. Yes. Which is why you belong to Kingdom Faith. Because in Kingdom Faith, every member is here designed by God to do the will of God. Amen? Amen. We are not a church where we will compromise with the will of God. We're not a religious people that are just content with outward conformity and just coming and attending services and things like that. We are a people committed to doing the will of God. And then we are to be without blemish. Now, how can you live without blemish? You can't. And yet you are without blemish. Why? Because you have the blood. And the blood of Jesus cleanses you of all sins, frees you from every blemish. You see, if you see a blemish in another believer, don't criticize them. Pray for them that they'll be forgiven. Then the blemish will be removed. Amen? Amen. And just remember, if you can see the blemish in other people, they can certainly see the blemish in you. Not only whatever is going on in your life, but they can pick up that critical attitude you have. Hello, are you at the same meeting I'm at here? Okay, so, and then the scripture says, I'm free from accusation. Who's the accuser of the brethren? So we're not going to listen to the devil. if I am living in Christ and Christ is living in me, if I've been reconciled with God and I'm one with him, then I am free from accusation. So whether the accusation comes from the devil, from some demonic power, from some thought that the devil wants to put in my mind, or from some other person, even if it's a Christian, I will not receive any accusation. Correction is not the same as accusation. Correction is a helpful thing. Accusation is a destructive thing. So let's all stand. It's not the end, don't... Miracles happen, but not that great, not yet. Come on, you're going to pray now. I want you to thank God. Come on, lift your hands, lift your heart, say, thank you, Lord, I'm reconciled with you. I have been made one with you, Lord. Come on, speak it out. Only the ignorant remain silent. Speak it out. You can be more thankful than that. Thank you, Lord. I am one with you. I am reconciled with you. Praise you, Jesus. Come on, heaven won't even know you're here if that's only the noise you can make. Come on, really give him thanks. Thank you, Lord. I'm made holy in your sight. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, get those lips moving. You've got to speak it, not think it, speak it. Speak it. You're called to declare the truth, not think it, but speak it. Or not only think it, but speak it. Thank the Lord that you are without blemish because you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Porata para zataria letuba. Thank you, Jesus. Thank him that you're free from accusation. Come on, give the devil a bloody nose. Hallelujah. The devil is a liar. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You have freed me from all accusation. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. Now, there's lots more here we could do, but because of a constraint of time, that we will have to just satisfy ourselves with one or two more. Go to chapter 2, verse 9. In Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ. Say, I have been given fullness in Christ. You see, it's all past tense. It's what he's done. He has reconciled you. And now the word says, you have been given fullness in Christ. Is this good or is this good? I mean, it's not just good, it's great. It's wonderful. What does that mean? If you apply that truth to your life, then you say, God has given me the fullness of everything that he has. Not he will, not he wants to, he has. It is all mine. God has blessed me in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. All those spiritual blessings in heaven, he has already blessed me with. See, this is applying the truth to your life. Right, now you apply your life to the truth. Therefore, I can live in the power of all his blessings. They are mine. You remember the scripture says we're co-heirs with Christ? Now, what do you think that means? I mean, God has this wonderful inheritance of Christ. He's got millions of people living in Christ. So does he divide the inheritance between us so that each one of us gets 1/1,000,000,000th of the inheritance? No, of course not. What he gives is the entire inheritance to every one of us. Where I come from, they get happy about that. That's what I tell people when I'm preaching in other places. So don't let me down. Come on. You have the entire inheritance. You have every spiritual blessing. You see, you apply that truth to your life and you believe it. So then you apply your life to the truth. Right, I'm going to live in every blessing today. What does that mean? It means I always expect blessing. I cannot expect anything negative because God has blessed me. And I am one with God, and so God's purpose is always to bless me. His purpose is never to withhold blessing from me. So every time I pray, it's with the expectation I'm going to be blessed. God is going to hear me. God is going to answer me. God is going to do what I ask. I'm expecting blessing all the time. I'm expecting blessing from other people. Why? Because I'm applying the truth to my life. If God has blessed me and I have his fullness, then I can expect to see his fullness in whatever situation in my life I'm placed, and I can expect others to bless me. I've got to be prepared to receive the blessing. Amen? But of course, along with this, you're applying all kinds of other truths as well. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So you keep giving and giving and giving because you have all this fullness of life to give away. So you expect to be blessed, you expect to receive, you expect others to bless you because you're giving blessing all the time because you're applying your life to the Word. That's how you become fruitful. You see, the man with good soil, he can withstand any kind of temptation or battering or anything that goes on, whatever the storm represents, but he's also bearing fruit. Why? Because he's blessing, he's giving, he's serving, he's doing the Word. Remember, the wise man does the Word. The foolish man remains silent. Why? Because he's not applying the Word. See? Well, that's why it's so important to speak the Word. Because just thinking it doesn't apply it. Speaking it applies it. Doing it applies it. But just thinking about it doesn't. You know, people say to me, oh, well, we're so quiet because we're thinking about what you said. Well, good, but I don't want you to just think about it. I want you to do it. And there's no time like the present to start, you see. And if you say, well, it's not my tradition, well, that's what's wrong with you. You've got the wrong tradition. The only tradition you need is to do the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. Now, we could go on and look at many, many more truths here. But I want you to go back to Psalm 139. Because, you see, the truth about applying the Word is all the way through the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. It's the principle by which God works among his people. Now, this is a wonderful psalm. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. What's David saying? He's saying, God knows everything about me. He knows every thought I have. He even knows what I'm going to say before I say it. He is so intimately involved in my life that I cannot even have a thought apart from him. And he says, to understand this is just too wonderful. That God should care about me and be involved with me in such a full and intimate way. But, you know, that is only one side of the truth. I'd like to have time to go through the whole psalm, but we don't. But just go on to verse 17. How precious are your thoughts, O God? How vast is the sum of them?
Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Now, you see, this is the thing about being in unity with God, being one with Him, reconciled with Him. He knows your thoughts. But you also know His thoughts. How do you know His thoughts? This book is full of them. This is how God thinks. This is what He thinks. So you can have thoughts about yourself, but He sees you reconciled, holy, without blemish, free from accusation. You have the fullness of life, a co-heir with Christ. Those are His thoughts. Can you understand why the scripture says His thoughts are higher than your thoughts and His ways than your ways? Now, which do you want, your thoughts or His thoughts? I mean, His thoughts about you are better than your thoughts about you and are certainly better than other people's thoughts about you. But He is the truth, and He knows the truth. Amen. Turn back to Psalm 91. This is another wonderful psalm. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Now, there's a lot of picturesque language in this psalm. But if you get beyond the language, it's speaking some wonderful truths. We are dwelling, because of our unity with God, we're dwelling under the protective shelter of the Most High, of the Most High God. Amen? We are resting in His shadow. You know, wherever I go, I am covered by His shadow. And that's the shadow of His glory. Is this good or is this good? See. So this is the way God thinks. This is what is revealed in the Word. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. So I apply that word to my life. Oh, I've got nothing to worry about. He's my refuge. He's my fortress. And I apply my life to the word. There's nothing to fear. See, the psalmist does this. Let's read on. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. If you know who He is, you know you can trust Him. Amen. Surely He will save you from the foulest snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Now you just apply this. He is covering you with His protection. Amen. And His faithfulness is like a shield around your life. Okay, now, you will not fear. Say, I will not fear.
I will not fear.
Listen, if you have anticipation of anything negative in the future, you are not walking by faith, you are walking by fear. The devil wants you to expect something awful, something terrible, something negative. He wants you to live in fear of sickness, in fear of accidents, in fear of somebody doing something to you that you won't like. That is not applying the word to your life. Because you see, the word of God declares here, you will not fear the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. You're not going to fear anything. Right?
for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness? You know, be careful you don't catch it. No, that's rubbish. Of course I will not. I do not need to fear. Right? Nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Why? Because you apply the word to your life and your life to the word. So there's no fear. Now, read on. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is your refuge, then no harm will befall you. Say, no harm will befall me. Now, you see, you can say that because I'm asking you to say it, but it's got to become your mentality. It's got to become your mindset. No harm will befall me. I don't have to fear. I don't have to make contingencies in case somebody does something to harm me, because the word of God says no harm will befall me. And Jesus says the same thing, doesn't he? You have authority over all the power of the devil and nothing will harm you. Now, if you say, well, things have harmed me in the past. Well, perhaps you believed that harmful things would come into your life. The devil certainly wants to harm us, but if we are walking by faith, applying the truth to our lives, then we do not anticipate anything that is negative. The Holy Spirit will never bring anything negative into your life. Everything that he brings into your life is positive. So if you're depending upon the Holy Spirit, he reminds you all the time of the word of truth and the positive things that God has promised. No disaster will come near your tent, near your house. Most of us live in houses and not tents these days. No harm will become. I cannot think that harm is going to possibly even come to me and say I'm walking by faith. Are you there? I mean, we've got to be totally uncompromising about the truth, because God is totally uncompromising about the truth. He is the truth. His words are the words of truth. Hallelujah. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Come on then, stand up and do it. Come on, you're not going to live by fear. Just ask God to forgive any fears that you've been living with. Come on, fear is sin. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I do not need to live by fear. Not fear of sickness, not fear of disaster, not fear of harm, not fear of any negative things coming against me. These are your thoughts, O Lord. This is how you tell me to live. This is what happens when I apply myself to your word. I will not live by fear. I will live by faith. I will live by expectation of blessing. Hallelujah. I will live in expectation of your best, of your goodness, of your life, of your love, of your power being poured into my life day by day. Hallelujah. Come on, really give him glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. You could be seated again. We're nearly finished. But just look at these last verses. Verse 14. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. So even when the enemy tries to put you into a difficult situation, what's God going to do? He's going to rescue you. I've been rescued from sickness. Hallelujah. Many of us have been rescued by things from the Lord. He doesn't leave us in them. He rescues us. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will what?
Answer.
Hallelujah.
I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we're living in that salvation. We're living in that saving grace. Now, what does God want us to do from here? Well, he wants us to apply this word. What does that mean? Every day, when you have your time reading the word, and I trust you do every day, because this is the spiritual bread that you need to eat every day, just as you need to have three meals a day, you need at least one meal of the word of God a day. You need to feed on it. Why? Because this will tell you what God is thinking. And the more you understand how God thinks, the more your thinking will become like his thinking. So, it's good when you're reading the word every day to have your pen and paper there. And to jot down what God thinks about you, what he is saying to you through that word that you're reading. And then to jot down what he's asking of you as you apply that word and live in the good of that word. So if God says, as he does 366 times in the Bible, fear not. That's one for every day of a leap year. I was taught that when God repeats himself in the word, it is for emphasis. If he repeats himself 365 times, that must be for great emphasis. If he says, do not fear, then I hear him. Don't fear. Don't be motivated by fear. Don't make any decisions on the basis of fear. And then I apply my life to that word. Therefore, I shall not fear. I mean, sometimes at the beginning of the day, we know that we've got to do things that we don't want to do. And sometimes we're even, if we're honest, a bit afraid of them. But one of the things the Lord taught me, because I used to be a very, very fearful person, was he taught me to that scripture which says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. And God simply said to me, how can you believe that I'm with you and still be afraid? You know, when people stand up to give testimony, somebody's asked to give their testimony, they often stand there before everybody else and say, oh, I'm very afraid, I'm not, you know, used to doing this kind of thing. Well, that's an appalling testimony. Doesn't matter what they've said after that. They've just given an appalling testimony that they're standing there afraid when God says, fear not. I mean, it doesn't matter too much what they say after that, because they've started in a negative vein, haven't they? Hello? So it's all right for you. You're used to standing up before people. Yes, but I haven't always stood up before people. I have to learn to stand up without fear. So, you see, we've got to apply this to very practical circumstances of our lives. Not just fear, but everything else. I'm living in the fullness. I'm living in everything that God has done for me. I'm living in perpetual blessing. Not perpetual motion, but perpetual blessing. Eternal blessings of God. I don't have a hard heart. I don't have a shallow heart. I don't have a divided heart, I have a good heart. And because I have a good heart, I'm a wise man. And because I'm a wise man, I'm going to bear fruit 100-fold. Never mind the 60, 30-fold, I'm going to bear 100-fold. In fact, I'm going to bear 1,000-fold. Because one can impact 1,000, two, 10,000. So I'll line up with my wife and we'll together impact 10,000. Well, come on, this is applying the word. Why don't you believe that your life will impact thousands? not just on your own, but because you're part of a body that God is raising up to make a difference. So you see, it's a way of thinking. It's a mindset. It's a mentality. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to live in fear of being unfruitful. I'm not going to live in fear of being cut out the vine. I'm not going to be in fear of judgment. I'm living in fruitfulness. I'm living as a wise person. I'm applying the word to my life and my life to the word. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's all stand. Oh, praise God. Lift your hands. Lift your heart. Lift your voice. Come on, don't stand there silent. For the love of God, do not stand there silent. Just give Him glory. He is your refuge. He is your strength. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Pura tapara zataria leto bakara situba. Yes, 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 yes. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. Just thank Him. You're not going to live by fear. You're walking by faith. You don't fear what's ahead of you. You're walking by faith into what God has planned for you. Come on, thank Him that you're a person of destiny. That He has planned good things for you to walk in. Thank Him that you're going to walk in the good things. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you that thank Him that the Lord is a shield about you. He is your refuge. He is your fortress. He is your strength. Hallelujah. Oh, rati parazata bakarazita balatuba. Come on, thank Him that if you get into difficulties, He will rescue you. He will rescue you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because He has redeemed you. Oh, praise you, Jesus. We give you all the glory, Lord. Oh. Oh. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. What a Lord. What a Lord. What a Lord. Oh. I want you just to be still for a moment. Keep your eyes closed. Now, perhaps there's a few people here say, I don't know God like that. He's not real to me like that. But I want Him to be. I want the truth to be real in my life. Like I've been hearing about this morning. I want to know God like that. I want to know His thoughts. I want to know Him so that I know that He knows me, knows what's going on in me. I want that personal relationship with God. If that's true for you, I'm going to pray for you right now. Just raise your hand wherever you are. Say, yeah, I want to know God like that. I don't know Him like that now, but I want to know Him. I want Him to be personal to me like that. I see some hands. Keep those hands up. Anybody else? Now keep those hands up, please. This is very important. Put them up high so it can be seen. Several hands. Now I want those, everybody else, just look around you. If you see somebody with their hand up, I want you to gather around them now and just lay your hand on them. We're going to pray for them. Lord, I thank you that you want every one of these dear people to know you, to know your love, your power, to receive your life, that you don't want to be a concept to them, but a real father to them. Lord, we pray that each one of them will know the reality of Jesus personally in their lives, that they will come to full repentance and faith. Hallelujah. We give you glory, Lord. We give you honor. We give you praise. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that they've taken this first step. Now, Lord, I just pray that each of them will take the other steps they need to come through to a full knowledge of you. Praise your name. Oh, God's people said, amen. Amen. Okay, you may all be seated. I want those of you who, you know, one or two of you who prayed for that person to bring them forward at the end of the meeting just to talk to one of the people on the pastoral team so they can just, only just for a minute or two, just so that we can see how we can help them to take the next step after that. Isn't God good? Yes. Praise the Lord. Let's give him a great big thank you. Right.